Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And if you remember, we've been going through God's story, His story this year. We began with creation. Last Sunday night, we finished up the Old Testament as we talked about and looked at the prophecy concerning the Savior's birth. And because we hear a lot about, at Christmas time, especially about the birth of Jesus, I chose not to do a message on the birth of Jesus because most of you, I think, know that Jesus was born. Okay? He is born. And so we move this morning to the message of Jesus, and tonight we'll look at the ministry of Jesus as we head towards our resurrection celebration. So we look here at this story of a familiar little man named Zacchaeus, and we talk about the message of Jesus. And he tells us very clearly at the very end of this passage the purpose and message that Jesus had, that he brought to let the world know. So if you'll just follow along as I read from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you each week as we've seen constant reminders through from the very beginning of Scripture, even to now and even past this point in Scripture later on, that we see your hand, your covenant of redemption continuing to occur. And you made a promise that you would redeem us long ago, and you continue to make that promise come about. God, your mighty hand is amazing. And Father, we just praise you and thank you that you're a God that cares about us. And you care about our greatest need. And that need is a Savior. That wonderful, merciful Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have any of you ever been lost? Now, I know all of you men would never admit to it, but there's probably a time where you've been lost, because we don't like to admit that we're lost if we're trying to get someplace. But there was a time, maybe this may be the only time in my life that I was ever lost. I was about 3 years old, and I was at my Aunt Pud's house. How many of you got an Aunt Pud? All right, I had a great Aunt Pud. I didn't know any of my grandmothers. They all passed away before I was born. But I had a number of great aunts that were all just, they were treasures. They were all just characters in their own set. They were just interesting, every single one of them. But Aunt Pud lived in West Point, Arkansas. And Aunt Pud and Uncle Pete, they had a farm there, and we were having some kind of family get-together out there. And after a while, after visiting and gathering and carrying on, it came time for dinner and they couldn't find me. Imagine that. It was time for dinner and they couldn't find me. And so they looked all over, and what's funny is Aunt Pud, to her last days, loved to tell this story to whoever would listen, because it just tickled her to death. But they got to looking around. They couldn't find me. Someone says, "Well, maybe we should check inside the house," because everybody was just out and around the barn and stuff like that. So they went in the house, looked around, got to the kitchen, and there I was. I was sitting on the kitchen table eating fried potatoes out of a bowl on the kitchen table. So they should have known. They should have known that to go straight to the kitchen to find me. But But I was lost. I didn't know I was lost, which is the case with many people today who don't have Jesus. They're lost, but they don't know it. They don't know that they need a Savior. You know, we've all lost something or been separated, but folks, there's nothing more tragic than being lost and separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater tragedy than to leave this earth without personally knowing our Savior. Because He is our source of life. Jesus Christ is the only way that we can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. So it's important for us to give our lives to Him, to seek Him, and to receive His gift of salvation that He so graciously has given us. So this morning we look at this familiar story of Zacchaeus and how this lost man was found. So let's look first at this miniature man named Zacchaeus. So let's look at these first four verses again. Look back over them with me. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. You see, Jesus had just performed a miracle. And there was quite a bit of stir about what was going on. And a man was there in Jericho by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. Now, whether it's a parade or a fireworks show or a concert, people are always looking for the best seats. And generally those are on the front row, right? Except for at church, obviously. And people don't clamor over those front seats. I don't spit that much when I preach, so you're welcome to sit right across there. But you know, we want those choice seats for those special events, and many times we will do whatever we can to get it. See, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and that's a very important part of this story because of his job, what this meant is that he was a Jew collecting taxes for the Roman government. So you can imagine, I mean, none of us like tax collectors, do we? But you can imagine that he was a very despised person. See, he would collect what the Roman government required, but he was at liberty to charge whatever he wanted if he wanted to get some of his own for his own pockets. And this made him very despised. He was considered a traitor to the Jews. In fact, they just believed that even though he was a Jew by birth, he was not part of their heritage, part of the children of God and the people of Abraham. But as Jesus approached the city of Jericho, he had healed a blind man, like I said, and there was quite this stir, and many were coming to get a glimpse of Jesus. But because there were so many, it became difficult for Zacchaeus. And I can imagine, as you probably can too, that because of who he was, have you been to those instances where there's people lined up to try to see something and you're trying to get through? And sometimes people might be generous and let you in a little bit. But can you imagine the type of sneers and words that Zacchaeus received that day as he tried to make his way to get to where he could see and he was just pushed back? So realizing he couldn't get a glimpse of Jesus, he did the next best thing. He went on ahead and he climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus pass by. You know, as corrupt as Zacchaeus might have been, we have to kind of pause and say something good about him right now. Because as bad as he might have been and as bad as society may have looked down on him, Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus. He was trying to seek Jesus. And you know what? We have to ask ourselves a question every single day. I mean, he was desperate. He was so desperate to see Jesus, to meet Jesus, that he climbed up in a tree, an embarrassing kind of thing. Are we that desperate to meet Jesus? Folks, we have to determine every single day that we're going to seek Jesus desperately. It should be the main focus of every day of our life as we approach each day of life to live that life as Jesus wants us to, that we seek Him. It's important for us to desperately seek Him. And there's a lesson that we can learn from Zacchaeus and his example here. So that's who Zacchaeus was. And that is what Zacchaeus did to see Jesus. So now, let's talk about Jesus for a second. So look back at verses 5 and 6 as we talk about this majestic Messiah. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, I want you to imagine this for a moment. Jesus is walking by, and he looks up, and in the tree is this, more than likely, a well-dressed man. You know, he had money, and it's a grown man, so to speak. He was short, but he was a grown man. And he is up in a tree. I mean, just think about it. Let's say you come by my house one day, come to tell me something, and you look out in the front yard over there where I live, and you see me in my suit up in the tree. Now, probably one of you thinking, well, what has Matt done now? Amy's got him scared up a tree. But that would make you laugh, would it not? Can you imagine? I mean, Jesus looks, Jesus is all knowing. He knew that's where he would find Zacchaeus, but he still had to chuckle, you know? And it makes me laugh to even picture this grown man up in a tree. And Jesus looks up, and with a smile and probably a laugh, he looks up at Jesus and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. Now here we have another place where Jesus shows us that he truly knows the heart and the intentions of a person. You know what? He even knows the intent of our heart as well. You know, we can't fool him, and that's why it's the intent of our heart, as I said a while ago, should always be for Jesus. Our motive should be for Jesus. Our intent should be to follow Jesus and to follow his will each and every day. Jesus showed Zacchaeus something else. He showed him something that Zacchaeus had probably rarely, if ever, had experienced. And that was love and compassion. He showed him love and compassion. He knew what was going on in Zacchaeus' life. He knew the bitterness and contempt that people had held for him. And yet, he showed him compassion. And folks, there are people all around us that are like Zacchaeus. Instead of compassion, they get contempt. Instead of love, they get laughter. And they need someone to show them the love and compassion that Jesus provides to us. I mean, we're nothing special, folks, compared to one another. We're not better than each other. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And God, by His great grace, has shown us compassion and love through His Son, Jesus. And guess what? We need to show that same compassion and love to folks that we see on a daily basis. Jesus, as an example, initiated an invitation and a desire there in verse 6 to fellowship with Zacchaeus. But look what happens. It says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. The guest of a sinner. See, the crowd obviously hated Zacchaeus, and they cast him aside. They wanted nothing to do with him because of who he was and what he stood for. They never gave him a chance or an ounce of compassion, but Jesus did. Because Jesus saw his heart. He saw the intent of his heart. And no one could imagine what was about to happen to Zacchaeus' life except for Jesus. And, you know, it doesn't matter what's happened to our life up to this point. What matters is that we need to know Jesus. And we need to know that Jesus desires a personal relationship with each and every one of us. You get that? That's what grace is all about, is that Jesus loves us in spite of who we are and what we've done. And he desires a relationship with us. As we see in Zacchaeus' life, or what's about to happen, is that when we spend time, though, as we seek that relationship with Jesus and we spend time with him, our lives are radically changed. And that's what happens to Zacchaeus. Look at what happens next. We look towards that main message that Jesus gives us here. Look at verse 8. It says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." You know, Zacchaeus had a different purpose in that crowd that day. He wasn't up in that tree picking figs, folks. He was up in that tree seeking Jesus. He wasn't just looking for a famous man. He was looking for a friend. He's looking for someone that was possibly different than everybody else that he met that day. And as verse 8 tells us, he was willing to give it all up to follow Jesus. You know, and it reminds me of another man who approached Jesus, that rich young ruler, who wanted to know what it took to have eternal life. And Jesus will sell all you got and give it to the poor. But that was not the answer he wanted. That troubled him because he was a wealthy man. He had gathered all this stuff. He wasn't willing to give it all up, the fame, the fortune, to follow Christ. His possessions, his popularity had taken control of his life, and he wasn't willing to lay them aside for Jesus. And the rich young ruler was more focused on good works and good wealth than a relationship with the Lord. But Zacchaeus wanted a relationship with the Lord. He wanted that relationship with Jesus and was willing to give away his wealth four times the amount to make restitution in order to follow Jesus. And he was setting his priorities right, and he was setting his heart right for the kingdom and to follow the Lord. What an example to us, folks. You know, the story of Zacchaeus is more than a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. It's more than him climbing up in a sycamore tree. It's about a man who sought Jesus and was willing to give all he had away so he could follow Jesus. Are we that willing? Are we willing to lay aside what we have to follow Jesus? I mean, Jesus gave it all up for us, did he not? He's the Son of God. He had a place at the right hand of the Father, and yet he left that place to put on earthly skin and to live in this earthly sin-sick world so that he could die for our sins. He gave it up for us. We can give it up for him if we truly want to seek him and follow him. Zacchaeus showed us that we also demonstrate our genuine inward faith by an outward expression. You know, our head and our heart are important to our faith, but folks, so are our feet. And if God saves us and we have placed our faith and trust in him, then what? People need to see it. People need to see that inward change, or that, you know, they see the outward expression of an inward change in our life. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." See, Zacchaeus was considered a traitor to the Jews because of what he did. And this traitor would not be considered a son of Abraham or follower of God by his fellow Jews, but by opening his heart to Jesus, he showed he was seeking the kingdom of God, and therefore he experienced salvation. Zacchaeus did not receive salvation because of his good deeds, but he truly believed in Jesus and set aside anything that might stand in the way of that relationship with him and gave his life to him. But then we get to verse 10, a very important verse to us, a very important verse in Luke's gospel, where he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." You know, Jesus' purpose that day was not to get everybody's money back, four times the amount. He was not an equalizer there, some kind of bouncer or whatever to intimidate folks and to get them, Zacchaeus, to pay their money back. Although that's the type of Savior and Messiah the Jews were looking for, someone of political stature and political power. But Jesus was not that. He was, above all else, a servant. He gave his life for people so that they might have life through him. And in this statement, He makes it clear what his purpose, his message is. It is to seek and save the lost. A purpose, folks, that remains today. You know, it's an important purpose to us too, because we are part of that now. As part of the church, we are to help people who are lost find Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be lost? Let's talk about that. You know, maybe we don't understand. What it means to be lost is if you do not know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior and Lord, you are lost. And as we talked about earlier in the story about Aunt Pud's house, I didn't know I was lost. I was just fine sitting on that kitchen table eating fried potatoes. But I understood, looking back, I imagine I understood. Now, I was kind of young, but I realized that obviously something was going on. There was a ruckus. There was a little bit of chaos on the farm that day because I couldn't be found. But folks, there are folks all around us who need Jesus. They don't even know they need Jesus, but they need to hear the gospel message. They need to hear that Jesus came to seek them, to save them. And they need to hear that message from us. Sunday night, I challenge you to be praying about someone that you would bring to our resurrection celebration. So that our Easter services, as we call it, are not just an opportunity for us to show our new ties off or our dresses or to just have family in. And all that's important, but what's really important is that we celebrate the fact that our Savior conquered sin and death and rose from the grave. And it's important for us to realize that that's not just some story that has no meaning to it. It has every meaning to it. Because without that, there is no good news to share with people. There is no way to conquer sin and death. There is no reason for the cross if there is no resurrection. Jesus died for us. He was buried. He rose again, so that the lost might have life. I experienced that in my life. Many of you have experienced that in life when you realize that if you died today without Christ, you would be lost forever. And others need to hear that same message. That you don't have to die that way. That you can have life eternal. But it only comes through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. This morning, as we bow our heads and as we think about the story of Zacchaeus, this little man who sought Jesus, it's not just a children's song or a children's story, because in it we see a number of things. We see a man who sought Jesus, and we see our Jesus who came to seek and save those who are lost. Zacchaeus was lost that day, but now he's found. There are those of you here this morning who are not in Christ. You have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior. And at any moment, you could pass from this earth. And without Christ, you will spend eternity separated from Him in hell. You know, it seems like today no one wants to hear that message, but whether you want to hear it or not, it is reality. And it's not my words, it's God's words. But the other side of those words is that Jesus has provided a way for you to overcome that. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. If we are in Christ, we have life. If we're not in Christ, we don't have life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him, that means trusts Him, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. This is a simple story with a simple message. One that many of you this morning may need to respond to. Maybe as you hear the words of God and you think about those who in your life need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and that God desires a personal relationship with them. As God lays those people on your heart, I challenge you to pray for them, but not just pray that someone would share the gospel with them. Pray that God would give you an opportunity. Maybe it begins with you just inviting them to church. And watch how God opens doors for you to share with people the hope that you have in Christ. But there are others of you here this morning, and you know that you need to respond. The invitation God gives us to receive His gift of salvation, to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior, but folks, also as your Lord, and that means the boss, the one who's in charge. Because giving our life to Christ is giving of ourself, giving up our rights to our life, and turning everything over to the Lord because He is the Lord. And so I challenge you this morning. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And I challenge you as we begin singing and worshiping together that you would respond. And I'm going to ask you to do something that may scare you a little bit, but please don't let it scare you. As we begin singing, I'm going to ask you just to come forward to take me by the hand and say, "Brother Matt, I need to give my life to Jesus." And then let me talk with you and pray with you about what that means and how you can do that. Think of it this way. By you coming forward, it's like climbing that tree, just like Zacchaeus, seeking the Lord. And you know how Jesus responded. Jesus will welcome you. And can I share with you something else? And I say this every Sunday, and I mean it. People in this room, when you make that decision, will celebrate with you. They will not condemn you. They will not say bad things about you. They will celebrate with you. Because we realize the miracle that's going on in your life as Jesus brings you from death without Him to life with Him. So I challenge you, if that's what you need to do today, when we stand and sing, do it. Maybe this morning you come and you've been honestly praying, sincerely praying about a church that God would plant you in. You know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, but you need to be planted in a church, and God, by His grace, has led you here. And if that's the case, you need to plant yourself in this church. Maybe you need to come forward to join our church this morning for that opportunity to grow together, serve together, to hold each other accountable, and to worship our Lord. However God's moving in your life this morning, I challenge you to respond obediently and to respond in love. God, we love You and we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for wonderful examples like Zacchaeus. And God, we thank You that You didn't leave us in our lost state, that You came to save us. And we praise You and thank You for that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing?